12th District State Senator Keith Gainer. He joins us live on the line from the Capitol in Olympia right now, primarily going to talk to us about budget activities at the Senate and in the House right now in Olympia, but we'll talk about some other things too if time permits. And Keith, always appreciate the time. Thanks.
Well, thanks for having me.
So I know I was just asking you about finishing on time. It's too early to tell, obviously, but you were just talking to me as we start out, I guess, about the budgets, that there's some real wrangling going on over there right now in Olympia. There's a lot of contentiousness between the parties on the budgets in certain aspects. So give us an update on those various budgets that the legislature's trying to pass this year.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, the Senate Republicans had rolled out a budget bill that would have allowed for no new increases in taxes because we have increases in revenues with just the current tax structure. And then the Senate Democrats and, of course, the House Democrats who are writing the budgets, they came out with their plans, and they include incredible tax increases. And, you know, the sad thing is that those tax increases don't even, you know, take care of things in the future. They're taking care of things right now. And the reason we're in this situation we are now is because we passed laws a couple of years ago that didn't really kick in until now in the 25-27 biennium. And so, you know, we're trying to pay bills that we didn't have revenue for. So it'll be interesting to see how they reconcile the budget so that at least the operating budget comes together. I'm assuming we will have some tax increases, but surely we do not need, and I'm hopeful we won't have the massive increases that they were proposing, because they're talking, you know, in the range of, you know, 12 to 15 billion more in taxes, when we've had a significant increase each biennium with the operating budget as it's been. And then on the transportation side, you know, I've been sitting on the transportation budget and the Senate budget. We did, you know, I do believe it is a bipartisan proposal. It doesn't mean that, you know, we totally agree on everything within it, but we did come to a, you know, consensus of what we needed to do to keep projects online. What I mean by that are the projects that are in the mix right now. We're actually building them, and they're, you know, incrementally getting moving toward the finish line. We want to make sure those continue, and we do have to delay some of the projects that we had hoped to, you know, fund sooner. But we also have revenues in there, and I do support revenue for the transportation budget because it's dedicated money that goes directly to infrastructure. It's hard assets. You actually see what you're getting for your investment, as opposed to the operating budget where you know, so much of what we're doing is outside the scope of what I believe government is really responsible for. So that's kind of a brief overview.
Yeah, Keith, we talked at pretty good length about the budget with your fellow Senator Shorten Warnick last week here on the Legislative Hotline. So after getting their words about the proceedings and where we're at, and then yours just now to kind of start things off today, is it fair to say that as the budget deficit widens, as it gets greater here in the state, the amount of contention between the parties that try to decide on a budget actually also heightens? Is that a fair enough statement? Because it seems to me like even though there's always been a lot of budget wrangling, this year does seem to be a lot more contentious than other years. And I'm just wondering if that's because the deficit has become so great.
Well, you know, I think it's kind of interesting. From my perspective, there's a lot of things that I don't think, you know, in a sense, from our side of the aisle, the Republican side, that we're pushing back on some of these social programs that have been put in place because they've been, you know, in play. And when we're talking about education, we're talking about social services, I mean, we do want to take care of the people that need the assistance. And we've had a plan that would allow for that. I mean, even early education, I mean, all of those things, the budget that was proposed really did not, that the Republicans proposed, did not really entail any cuts, so to speak. I mean, it did delay some of the, you know, implementation of some of the things that were promised, but, you know, it keeps government pretty much moving where it is. And the issue for me is, I know you've heard Representative Steele, you know, say it, being on the budgets himself, you know, for so long, you say it's not a revenue problem we have, it's a spending problem. And so, like with anyone, if you continue to feel like you need to acquire more, but you don't increase your income, well, somehow you've got to pay for what you're trying to increase. And I think that's, you know, sometimes it's even more within the House and Senate Democrats that are at odds as to, you know, how much more government are we going to try and fund? So I think, you know, as far as the contention, you know, from our side, you know, we feel like, hey, you know, let's hold the line here. Let's get things in order before we start talking about, you know, spending and increasing the size and scope of government.
12th District State Senator Keith Gaynor with us today here on the KPQ Morning Update for our legislative hotline. Keith, I want to move on, talk to you about some individual pieces of legislation and where they're at. I know you want to talk about a rent control bill. This is not yours, but it's one that's still moving along in the chambers. So tell us about it and where it's at right now.
Well, we were hoping that that wouldn't be a bill that would see, you know, the end of the line. Because, you know, my concern, you know, I guess the narrative is that, well, we want people to have stable rent, and so we're going to cap what a landlord can raise. And it really hasn't been an issue. There may be some outlier situations where people feel like their, you know, their rent has gone up, you know, more than they could. But in talking with landlords and housing providers, you know, they're trying to just, you know, keep a, they like to have, you know, a stable tenancy. They don't like to be just raising the rents and having people moving. And I mean, I think that it's really important that we talk about the key principle here, and that's entering into the private sector's ability to, you know, make good and take care of the investment they have. And when you buy a home and you decide to rent it out, or apartment building, you know, you have obligations that you have to meet. And when somebody says, well, I'm going to control how much, you know, income you can get from this, receive from this investment, to me, that's fundamentally an issue that we need to, you know, tread very carefully in what we're doing. We already have other taxes that, you know, we're taxing, you know, the income in general. But when people are saying that, you know, though you're going to provide me with an opportunity for a home, I want to control what you can charge me. I mean, then we're getting into the market in a way that I think is really disastrous, because where it's played out before, you've actually seen a tightening of actual rental units because people are not willing to be landlords anymore. And the bigger investors are looking for states that are more favorable toward their investment dollars. So it's a real concern of ours, because I think in an effort to try and help the housing crisis, I think we're going to exacerbate.
Keith, I'm not sure how familiar you are with rent control bills that are in more metropolitan areas. You know, New York, for example, has had theirs for decades now because of issues that places that are more rural in our state are just now facing. Wenatchee probably never thought it would have this issue, and yet we're in the midst of it right now. So do you know how much of this legislation is actually based on what we've seen in larger areas of the rest of the nation previous to this, or is this essentially pretty brand new, or do you know?
Well, that's basically what I was citing, where we've seen it in other places. It has been in play, but over time, that's what you see, is a diminishing interest in people being those housing providers. When we talk about people who have invested, oftentimes, particularly like this one, where, you know, the first 12 years of the structure are not, you're not limited. So what it is, it's older properties primarily that are limited. So what happens is people will come in, they will build them, and then they'll turn them, and they'll keep moving. I mean, you have, you know, a number of property owners, so it doesn't really do what it's intended to do as far as keeping a cap on rents, unless someone chooses to hang on to that property. But if they sell it, then that resets the clock. So, I mean, I think there's too many moving parts with this whole philosophy to really fully understand how it'll impact, you know, even the more metropolitan urban areas of the state of Washington. But the mom and pops, the smaller property owners, you know, that's who we've heard the most from, and their concerns, because they buy it as an investment for the future, and now they may be, you know, limited as to what their outcomes could be.
Ken Tonkin with 12th District State Senator Keith Gaynor on this morning's KPQ Legislative Hotline here on the Morning Update. Keith, I want to move on and talk to you about a piece of legislation that is or was yours, and it has to do with energy. Can you tell us more about this one?
Well, this is one that came to me from local government. It's from primarily the counties. But if a county or city participates in EFSEC, which is the Energy Facility Siting Committee, that actually puts, decides whether you could have like a wind turbine farm or a solar farm, and it's primarily in the more rural areas where these are being sited. If they participate in providing technical assistance, because it's part of their comprehensive plan, you know, see how it integrates into the county's plan, then they are exempt from appeal. And what's happened with some of these projects is that local governments have been really burdened with lawsuits and all they've done is provided, assistance with the permitting process. And so this, gives local governments some protection and keeps them from having to be spending, large sums of money just to defend what they are, basically required to do as a local government. So it's a good bill for local government and trying to, give them the protections that they need.
I know we've seen an awful lot or heard, I guess, an awful lot, Keith, about some of these projects that were supposed to come to the local area. There was talk of a solar farm project potentially out in the Palisades area in our region here in North Central Washington not too long ago, and also we're hearing about a wind farm project out in the Palouse that folks are fighting against there. So these are the kinds of examples that you use, I'd imagine, as far as who you're wanting to target to help protect in these instances.
Yes, and there was one, Douglas County was involved with one up on Badger Mountain, and I don't know the status of that right now, but I know that the county commissioners were involved in the siting and providing guidance and I guess input as to the suitability of that. So in their particular case, if somebody came back and felt like the final determination wasn't to their liking, they could include the local government and hold them accountable and have them have to prove and once again subject them to a lot of legal obligations that this bill now would give them protection from when all they've done is provide, that technical assistance and help.
All right, very good. Keith, let's move on and talk with you about one last thing here today before we let you go. Again, appreciate your time. That parents' rights bill, this has been obviously something that's been tracked by the media very heavily since the outset of the legislative sessions. It's still going in the state house, but what can you tell us about where it's at right now?
Well, it is in the House. The Senate bill went over, and the House bill, it's interesting how this bill is really, it does undermine the initiative. And the whole goal of that initiative was to make sure that parents were informed about their child's welfare and what's happening to them, particularly in school. And it seems like there's a real desire to have ownership of a bill that undoes the initiative. And so at this point, it is in the House Education Committee. It'll probably be going to the floor for them to debate again. It's just kind of puzzling to me why there's such a desire when just last year we as a legislature kind of affirmed what the initiative had wanted to see in play as far as laws and notification for parents. And now a year later, we're coming back with bills that actually undermines that whole process. So it's not done yet. It hasn't been, approved, but it will be up for debate here again, I'm sure, in the next week or so.
Keith, I want to talk to you real quickly, too, about the governor. I know that Senator Warnock talked to us just recently about his visit to their caucus. I guess it'd be yours as well there in the uh-huh. Senate. And that was very much appreciated on the part of, again, Judy, because she said it was extremely exceptional, if not never, that it would happen with former Governor Inslee. So what were your thoughts about that visit from Governor Ferguson?
Well, it was really good to have him come in and talk with us. I mean, we should be talking. I always feel like once the election is over, we're all in this together to govern and come up with a good plan of governance. So whether you're Republican or Democrat, I mean, we should be working together for the, best outcomes for the state. And to have a governor come in and say that's what his commitment is, he wants to, and obviously we may, differ on how we get to where we want to be because we have different destinations, I guess, but the whole idea that we're heading down a similar path to good governance, I mean, it's important for us to have those conversations and to have kind of a united front in our commitment to bettering lives for all of Washington.
Again, the 12th District State Senator Keith Gaynor with us today here on the KPQ Morning Updates. Senator joins us every other Thursday as part of our Legislative Hotline series. And Keith, we got a couple more go-arounds with you before the sessions are all said and done here in about a month. So we'll look forward to that. Until then, appreciate all your time and energy spent on our behalf in Olympia. And we'll look forward to our next chat.
Thanks, Chris. Always appreciate the visit.